You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, US President Donald Trump had an outburst of criticism towards the UN. Despite the why and what of these criticisms by the right-wing leader, he is not the first to levy criticisms against the organization and its structures. Particularly, the inability for the organization to enact, oversee, and rule on meaningful change, as well as the powers invested in an outdated Security Council, have been subject of significant concern, especially in the 21st century. I spoke to senior tutor in law at the University of Auckland, Dr. Justin Subion, about the UN's glaring issues and potential fixes. Generally speaking, what are some of the main concerns with the UN?
Yeah, there are some concerns, and the thing is, as you rightly said, Donald Trump and other leaders have been saying this for quite a long time. So it's not only Donald Trump that the UN has, it has potential, but there's still a lot of work to be done. We saw, for example, Helen Clark, a former prime minister, saying the same thing, and it's not often you have Helen Clark and persons like Donald Trump agreeing on certain things. So there seems to be some commonality where that is concerned. And the thing is, the organization, the point to be made is that the organization is 80 years old. It was founded in 1945, the UN Charter, as a post-war kind of architecture of how to move, this is post-World War II, how to move the nations further, how to move the nations forward, coming out of a barbaric world war. And so the three pillars of the United Nations, peace and security, human rights and development. But now we are in the 21st century, and I think the UN has 20th century pegs trying to fit into 21st century holes, if you want to use a metaphor like that. So the UN Security Council, for example, the UN Security Council really were the P5 who have the right to veto. They were the victors in the World War, so that's the US, World War II, that is, US, China, Russia, France, and United Kingdom. And these five countries have the power to veto anything that comes before it. I saw a statement this weekend, I think it was from the Kenyan Prime Minister. He was saying at the UN that a continent that represents 54 countries, they don't even have a permanent seat in the United Nations Security Council. So things like that, you know, we want more diverse membership, especially for permanent members, or maybe you scrap the whole permanent membership and, you know, you let more countries be engaged. Maybe you have to scrap the veto power as well, because there are a lot of crucial matters coming before it. And another thing which I believe that needs reform would be, as I said, the three pillars, peace and security, human rights, development. We notice that climate change or the environment is not even a pillar or one of the main aims and objectives of the UN. Of course, in 1945, climate change wasn't seen as a huge threat as it is today. So climate change needs to be there. Some argue that peace and security could amount to climate change. That's a kind of vague argument, you know. So I think the whole mission or the pillars of the UN need to change. And lastly, I just want to talk about the UN Trusteeship Council, which is one of the principal organs, one of the six principal organs of the United Nations. And that body is now defunct. There are various amendments or various proposals over the last 25 years, I think even from the beginning of the 21st century in 2000, to transform the UN Trusteeship Council as an institution that overlooks the global commons. In other words, looks at trusteeship, how do we manage the atmosphere, how do we manage Antarctica, how do we manage oceans. And that proposal has just been kind of spinning top in mud in the UN, and they haven't really come to a decision. So I think things like these, you know, we need to rehash. The last thing was that it should be repurposed, the Trusteeship Council, as being a trusteeship organization that looks after the global environment. So I think that member states, of course, after that rule.
In looking at the kind of background of the UN, especially looking at how it came about post-World War II, how does that kind of, as you said, 20th century pegs, how does that kind of maybe reflect in the way that the UN's been dealing with recent conflicts like Russia's invasion of Ukraine or Israel's genocide in Gaza?
Yeah, that's another big issue, and the U.S. president did speak about that as well, seeing that they are not handling conflicts well. And of course, people say the UN is a talk shop, which in essence is true. But I think it comes again to the Security Council. The Security Council needs more teeth. They're the ones that are responsible for what's going on. I mean, there are numerous vetoes that have been passed in what's going on in Gaza, what's going on in Ukraine, what's going on even in Myanmar. Some people tend to forget about that. And some people even forget about the unspoken genocide that's going on in Sudan right now. It's actually more persons have been killed in Sudan than in Gaza. And that has been a kind of unforgotten genocide right now. So I think what needs to be done is definitely all the security measures that pass through the Security Council that are responsible for peace and security, that whole veto thing needs to really be dropped. And you should have a diverse range of members. So I think the UN really needs to get into these type of nitty-gritty issues. And especially, as we said, climate change, the climate crisis is just something that really spurred upon us in the last 20, 30 years. Especially this decade, the UN.
And alongside rehashing some of these mechanisms like the trusteeship or the Security Council, what can the UN maybe do, or what can be done within the UN to greater increase its actual effectiveness in enacting some of these decisions, whether or not they pass or not?
Yeah, I think what we also need is the Secretary General, to be quite honest, hands are always tied. I know a lot of people say, yeah, but do something. Maybe expel certain countries from the UN. I think there's a power you can trigger to do that. But the Secretary General's hands are really tied. What we really need is multilateralism needs to be more repose of trust and confidence, because I think we don't have trust and confidence within states themselves. So that is one issue. We need international morality, right? I think when you look at the larger schemes of things, the morality has really gone down. There are broken promises. There are wars. If you look at the doomsday clock, we are, I think, that was set up by scientists headed by Albert Einstein many years ago. We are like a few seconds before midnight when a grand catastrophe is supposed to happen. So I think international morality is clearly lacking, and we just need to work in multilateralism. The world is polarized, and states have not been able to trust each other, and that's the reality. Some people say we're on the brink of World War III, which I hope not, but you know, I think we are really at a cusp of something really big. And I think if we could just pivot along and realize that we're working along common goals, we could avoid any major disaster. So I think states just need to really be working with themselves and trusting each other in the multilateral process.
That was the University of Auckland's Dr. Justin Subion on the problems with the UN and how they can potentially be solved.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.